What a difference a week makes. Last weekend, we had Peter, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God," and everyone's happy. Jesus is praising him. All is good in the world for about 3 seconds. Because then Jesus starts to tell the boys, "Well, I'm going to have to go suffer and die." And as we heard in the gospel passage today, it's not something Peter wants to hear. "God forbid, Lord, that should happen to you." And then Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan." And we're not as happy as we were a few minutes ago. But it's interesting that with Peter, we can see our own spiritual life as well. That there is moments where we get it, and then there's moments where we don't get it as much. And it's always that thing of thinking like God instead of ourselves. And after all, isn't that what Jesus tells Peter? "You are thinking as humans do, not as God does." And that's always the struggle for each and every one of us. Thinking as God does, not as the world does. And we see that Jesus says, "In order to follow me, you must take up your cross." Now, we've heard that phrase, "take up your cross," many times. And usually, it's in the form of an illness, some type of major suffering, whatever it may be. That's when we think of taking up our cross. But I wonder, if we look at it and understand that taking up our cross is not necessarily in these big things, these massively bad things that happen to us, but also taking up our cross entails dying to self, dying to the ego. Taking up our cross means that if we are true, faithful Catholics, true, faithful Christians, people will not like us. People will make fun of us. People will mock us because we are following God's will and not the will of the world. Now, as I always like to say, worldly things are not bad. That's not what we're trying to say here. What we're trying to say here is when we're overly worried about the world and worldly things and human things, we can get lost in what is important, what is the true good and beautiful, what God's will is. And then we can start to distort God's will if all we do is think in human terms. But as I said, we are called as Christian Catholics and as we're baptized, they were called to follow the will of God, to do God's will. And we see in the first reading today, our good friend Jeremiah, people don't like him. So we heard that Jeremiah is preaching, great prophet, preaching what God asks him to preach. And what does he say? "I am mocked. I have become a laughingstock. Because people are making fun of me for living out God's will in my life. For not following along in their human ways." That can be a cross. A big cross. A cross we have to take up with people not liking us because we are faithful to God. Because the number one priority for us is God, God's will, not worldly things. So as I said, taking up our cross means we don't take earthly values as the be-all, end-all, as the absolute truth. The absolute truth is eternal values. What does God want us to do so we may be with him in heaven? That we may make sure that everyone in the world is treated with dignity and respect. What we see is that we have to embrace these difficulties for the sake of Christ. The prophets did it with God. The early church did it with Jesus. All those who follow Jesus Christ, who are martyred for the Lord throughout the ages, they embrace the difficulties for the sake of Christ. Dying to ego and making Jesus the center of their life. God's will, not my will. And that is always the key. So we have to accept that when we live out our baptismal promises, when we live a true, authentic Christian life, there'll be friction, there'll be rejection. And that is a guarantee. Jesus, as I many times say, doesn't leave any fine print, where you have to go and look at the fine print to see what's truly mean. Jesus sets it out there. Look, this, this, and this. And by the way, there's going to be suffering if you follow me. By the way, if you follow me, people are going to reject you. People are going to have friction with you. People are not going to like you. Just know that up front. But also know up front, I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't done. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything Jesus hasn't done. Jesus suffered. And that is how our salvation came about, by suffering. Not by the great miracles of the Lord, not by the feeding of the 5,000. No, by his suffering. That is how Jesus saved us. And in our baptism, we are baptized into the life, death, and resurrection, into the suffering of Jesus Christ. It is up to us to say yes to that great offer. It is up to us to say, yes, Lord, I know if I follow you, I know there will be friction, I know I'll be rejected, I know I'll be made fun of, whatever that might be, but I know if I hold on to you, I will be okay. Because I know you are there with me. It's funny. When we hear the gospel passage today, and we hear, get behind me, Satan, what do we think of? We probably think of something bad. We think of a punishment. We think of Jesus not happy. Now, Jesus isn't happy that Peter thought that way, but what if we looked at get behind me, get rid of the Satan part, but get behind me, as he says to Peter and to Satan and to us, what if we look at it this way? I submit to you, get behind me, in other words, means follow me. I am going ahead of you. I am making the path straight for you. All you have to do is follow me. Get behind me. I will lead you to where you need to go. I will lead you and embrace you to know that in your suffering, I am leading you to, so you know I have not abandoned you. I am leading you to show that you are not on the solitary journey, that I am with you. That my strength and my presence has not left. It is there to carry you. It is there to make sure that you can safely deal with the rejection, the friction. And that is one of the great things we know about our Lord. As we talked a little about last week, about that knowing Jesus personally through the sacraments, that Jesus is truly there and showing us what Jesus is like, we can see with, get behind me, follow me, I am here for you, I am pulling you through, I have not abandoned you. Another great way in which we see the personal Jesus in our life. When we lead an authentic Christian life, when we lead our life doing God's will, even though it might contradict human will, but do God's will, we will be led to heaven. Because God gives us confidence in knowing that we will be okay. It's interesting. A couple of verses later, maybe a paragraph later, what happens in the Gospel of Matthew? The transfiguration. So Jesus is teaching, I must suffer. And then he teaches a little more about the suffering that he has to undergo. But then he's transfigured, showing the glory that this suffering will entail, will bring. And it's the same as for us. Is that when we take up our cross, when we get behind Jesus and allow Jesus to lead us, we know that we're not abandoned. We know that we're not on the journey alone. We know that Jesus' strength and presence is with us. And we know that if we stay true to the Lord, if we, to the best of our ability, do the will of God in our life, not the will of the world, that will lead us and transform us and bring us to the glory of Christ.